shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Almighty and Eternal Father, again we thank Thee for the assurance of Thy abiding presence. Where we are gathered together to worship You in spirit and in truth, Thy presence is here to catalyze with spirit and vision with blessing Thy people. Throughout the course of all time and throughout all ages, Thy abiding presence remains with us, that You would never leave us nor forsake us even to the end of this age. We're thankful as we move through these climactic events of the end of an age. We have the vision and the assurance of a new order and a new age that shall emerge out of Thy household, out of its victories and out of its reigning order in the earth, as Thy kingdom is established forever. We're thankful also for all the covenants which You have made with us of sustaining power, of Thy protecting, guiding hand, of the initiative and vision which You raise up among Thy people upon Thy household. We pray for the great nations of Thy kingdom today, the great nations of Western Christian civilization, and the great peoples that You have established in the earth to accomplish Thy purpose. We pray, our Father, for the spiritual center of Thy kingdom, Thy church, that the true church emerging might bear a full article of truth, and that Thy people shall leave all the false establishments of ecclesiastical era, and shall lift up Thy standards for a great victory of one faith, one Lord, and one baptism in this climactic hour, repudiating all the patterns of darkness and all the assistance which is being given out to the areas of darkness to try to establish a brotherhood of religions that moves with the darkness. May there be a great new establishing standard of truth to which all Christians can repair. We pray, our Father, for the binding of all evil, the loosing of the mighty power of Thy presence, and the light of Thy vision. As we survey the things that are transpiring in the earth, grant unto us understanding to the relationship of event and to conditions and times in which we live. Teach us to walk with vision and with faith and without fear. We say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we ask it. Amen. Our subject tonight, for there is no question about the significance of the hour in which we live, we're going to establish for you rather clearly that we are at the end of an age. But when we talk about the end of an age, it is not merely the measurement of time that is involved. It is not the discussion of how many years between one given event and another have taken place. Some people think that the measurement of an age is dependent upon how many days or years exist in cycles. And there are measurements and cycles that do pertain to years because God has sought to make this clear. But generally, age ends relate to great, tremendous, and unusual events in the history of a planet, and this also is true of this one. Among these signs of an age end, of course, is the great, tremendous cataclysms that have taken place. This world has gone through many of these experiences. There have been four or five major catastrophes. There is the evidence of four great catastrophes, and one that was not considered too light a catastrophe that took place some 34 centuries ago. So we point out to you that there have been great things and great impact upon the earth. Such types of catastrophe mark not only the end of an age, sometimes of a civilization and a culture. Sometimes whole areas of the earth are inundated by the size of catastrophe. But there is a build-up pattern that is involved in this. Largely, these forces that are built up are largely related to human emotions and intense areas of tension. In fact, whether people realize it or not, the catalyst of the tremendous areas of mental energy, of tension, and the relationship of men to the pressures that are upon the face of the earth have more to do than you may realize with sequences of events. There is no doubt that the Most High God also utilizes all the power which He may wish to control with all the areas of directivity to sometimes purge whole areas of the earth or to make transitions in the surface of planets which are in this process of going through change. The reason for almost all of these catastrophes and changes are on the basis of the way things are put together and violations of divine law, the violations of the law of form and of substance, whether it be chemical or whether it be in the areas of the balance of forces and energies that can even move into geological change or move into nuclear catastrophe. While we are talking about great changes, I might point out to you that this world has, in two previous eras, been swept by tremendous nuclear catastrophe that involved atomic explosions, wave upon wave, that was a partly a related effect to sinking continents and submerged areas of the earth. And we may point to the western coast of Africa, we may point to the islands of the sea like Easter Island, and several other high remaining areas of the Pacific Ocean to show that the nuclear fission that took place with substances upon the surface of its beaches have produced a substance like trinitite, the green, somewhat glassy-like substance of fused atomic sand that took place in Algamargo in our first nuclear experiments. The fact that these isotopes that were created had no relationship originally to nuclear substances is quite obvious, though even though there have been millenniums of time going by, they have not yet dissipated their radioactivity to demonstrate that their formation was the result of great and unusual nuclear explosions. Now, what we are talking about is in no way fear of the dissolving of elements in fervent heat, nor are we telling you tonight that you should cease all areas of protection or testing on the basis of great catastrophes that have happened in the past, but I am discussing these as partly related to tremendous events that have taken place in relationship to your past history. But greater power at the fingertips of God have been used in balancing off and reconstructing and changing areas of the earth than have ever been made by man or by fallen archangels in their battles of struggle and in their periods of war. We point out to you that the history of the earth is one that goes back into antiquity beyond that which the average individual with his Bible training has been taught to believe. This is not because there's error in the historical record, but there's been error in the interpretation. The eras and the ages of reconstruction had nothing to do with the original formation of this globe out of this portion of the solar system and in the cosmic order of which it is a part. For in the scriptures it tells us in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and it did not set a date or a time for its origin. And since one great major catastrophe of the patterns of antiquity, we know that there's 1,750,000 years of history in which there have been people upon the face of the earth that walked upright, that painted ceramics, that and even had some reason or other in their background of existence for making weapons and forming them in the shape of spears and arrowheads, but not as primitive as you might think, because we even have evidences of metallurgy that reach back 1,750,000 years ago in the Oville deposits of South Africa. We have the established new processes of the measurement of antiquity and time, the utilization of radiocarbon and the measurement of the dissipation of these energies from all living substances whose carbon content has a given rate which we understand for the dispersion of its power. We may be able to measure the antiquity of any substance that we find that ever had life in it, whether it be bone or wood or how deeply buried or enmeshed in the earth that has not changed this rate with which these energies are dispelled, whether it was 100 years old or whether it had only existed for a matter of one season. Also, we have now new areas of dispersions of energy that are outside of the carbon class, but still demonstrate the impact of energy upon these areas of substance. We have new chemical measures by which we may determine in the delineation of time their antiquity from the way they were formed, the time they were set up. We have exact patterns of measure concerning how long it takes in various types of substance for fluorine replacement out of the earth to replace these areas of material that were once alive. Thus it is we also have given periods of measure concerning sedimentary processes, the layer upon layer that took place in the interludes between catastrophes of the great alluvial fans, the deposits that came in the normal processes of the years. We have many places on the earth where there's 250 and 300,000 years of sedimentary deposits that are visible to the human eye that can be counted. We can show you in the Grand Canyon over 270,000 years of seed time and harvest that are laid strata upon strata, which a minute observation will show the particles embedded in the solid stone, where each year as the seeds came off of the trees and were washed into the alluvial and became a part of that layer in the rocks, the seed time and harvest have laid its score for over 250,000 years. So when we deal with antiquity, we are no longer thinking or looking upon what man once thought was 6,000 years of history, and 6 days previous to this were a creation with a seventh of rest. Thus man had the concept, because of the translation that was given to us in Dewey and King James versions, that these represented 24-hour days. But of course these were areas and eras of a recreation, and they had no relationship to the antiquity of the earth, which was created by the Most High in the beginning according to plan and according to his design. The catastrophes that were involved in this tremendous upheaval in the universe of the Luciferian rebellion against God did not in any way upset the purpose of the plan of God, did not eliminate the prerogative of God to put things in order, nor the suppression of the powers of darkness. We point out with you that in this earth, which was one of the areas in which would involve the patterns of struggle, that we were early seized in the vertex of these patterns of upheaval. Though the actual and final defeat of Lucifer and his final incarceration in earth's areas reached back to a period some 75,000 years ago, the pattern of measure can clearly be established, because in the history of antiquity, the Sumerian dynasties, the Sherapat dynasties that go back into the ancient Torah, whose 600,000 years of consecutive migrations, camps, and whose artifacts are found from the highest steppes of Asia across the Appalachians as well as the Alps and the Carpathians and down into Mesopotamia and even into the areas of Africa, tell also their story. The fact the Sumerians tell the exact hours of defeat when Luciferian craft were brought to earth. They also tell the exact time when Negroes were first found in the earth. They tell about how they were different than other people, and they give their classification, and it fits right in with Job's evaluation too, that this is the lowest strata of society that ever hit the earth, as he tells you in the 30th chapter of the book of Job. Now, the cycles that have affected the earth have been sometimes tremendous because of its impact. There were great land bridges that connected continents. There were continents that stand where oceans now are washing the tops of mountains far beneath the ocean surfaces. The Atlantic Ocean covers over not only a great subcontinent that existed partway up into the heart of North America and Central Europe by evaluation level horizontally at latitude, and extended almost to what we know as the tip of South America, that existed leaving water masses between it in some areas between South America and Africa and North America and Europe. However, the submergence of this continent and its final descent beneath the waters of the Atlantic are recorded in a measure of time history of about 11,000 years ago. And just as few areas like the Azores still stick up out of the waters to mark where once there existed a great continent that was involved in violations of divine law. The writings of the ancient Egyptians tell about how it was related to the worship of this defeated god that came from outer space, who sought the mongrelization, the integration of peoples, the mixing of Negroes that they referred to as beasts with the peoples of earth, and the intermixture of all of the species of earth, and even sought to mix animals with man in order to set up a satanic religion in opposition to God in a design to mutate the laws of God and the institutions of divine order. I point out to you that Satan never creates, he always destroys, he mutates and wishes to change, but in no instance wishes to respect divine law. However, we point out that these patterns of history are related in Sumerian documents and records, of which the British Museum today has a great number, in which the late Dr. Budge was a foremost translator in the patterns of these records of antiquity. Today, as we are watching the new areas of archaeology, coring deep into areas and stratas to unearth the evidences of civilizations that make the mounds of Mesopotamia become as though they were young finds as compared to the antiquity with which we find the artifacts of ancient Sumerian and Torah society. Now, when we talk about the white man, we're talking about something distinct and different. As far as your race is concerned, there is no record of your race existing upon the earth prior to this period of 7,400 years ago. 5,400 years before Christ, the Adamic race was driven out of the Edenic condition because of violations of law, of racial law, and of divine law which God had ordained. They had violated divine law in participating in their contact with the racial trees which had experience with rebellion and evil. A new race just placed in the earth, offspring of God, violating divine law. And in this instance, they lost spiritual power which had belonged to them, and they lost an area of immunity physically that made them subject to disease and transgression because they ceased to be protected, and thus they lost their immortality because of their ability now to be attacked by germs and viruses and disease, which were mutations in the natural field by Lucifer. As the great patriarch Enoch was shown, that by mixing and by fusing cultures of protozoan bacteria, viruses would be created by the wizards of Lucifer, and thus sickness and disease were not the creation of God, but they were the mutation of Lucifer to which living substances were not adapted to protect themselves. And so we point out that the forces of darkness continue to mutate. The power of God's program is building and constructing, and the nations of his kingdom have civilization and culture. The powers of darkness teach revolution and subversion, and they seek to disintegrate this in social order, even as they seek to mutate your race and your species in their design for political mastery. Today, the great struggle for the earth is a struggle to preserve your kind and to carry out its objectives. The design today is to mongrelize your race, integrate it, lower its capacities, reduce its inability to resist, and then also to capture your areas of government, you taking them, and you lose your freedom, and you lose your leadership. Now the attempted processes have become, in the areas of design by Lucifer, such an abomination, the whole areas of the earth have been subject to direct chastisement, but so skillfully maneuvered and so carefully measured that at no time did all the earth suffer the catastrophe, nor at any time was the society or civilization of earth totally wiped out. There have been some unusual developments that have taken place in the past. The reason I point these out are to show you your relationship to these moving packings of events. Every once in a while, someone said, all things continue as they have been since the beginning, but this is not so. The scripture said there would be people that would talk like that. Because in the lifetime of your nation, there has not existed in the upheavals of the earth any great, tremendous upheaval that wiped out a whole area of the earth. Why, there are a great number of people that think that things like this just can't happen. They forget that in the days of the Lewis and Clark expedition, a mountain range finally disappeared across the heart of the North American continent, and some of the hills that the Lewis-Clark expedition crossed going west were not there when they returned. More than this, Indians told them about what had happened in the previous century and told them about the disappearance of whole mountain ranges and thought this was because of the anger of the Great Spirit. And the Lewis and Clark expedition, they recorded the disappearance of certain hills, and they thought that there must have been tremendous earthquake and great catastrophe, for while there had been some tremors while they were there, it was after they had crossed and proceeded west that some of this catastrophe took place, even in the areas south of the Great Lakes. So you see, we are in conditions of change. A great earthquake not so long ago moved in the subterranean field, and the result was that it reached all the way from the Great Lakes region down into Oklahoma City. And underneath the ground is a mountain range which has disappeared beneath the plains. And this mountain range extends from down in Oklahoma all the way to the Great Lakes. And the movement was this old mountain moving underneath the soil that caused that earthquake. So again, there are many things of great interest. The knowledge today of modern meteorology and seismology knows that this great plastic globe that we live upon gives and moves in its pressure according to the electromagnetic flows of force and the great areas of exerted pressure imbalance in our solar system. This great plastic globe we live upon is not solid. We conceive of it as round, though it's definitely spheroid. The pattern remains that in the areas of its circumference, it has within it certain cracks in its surface. These cracks are not always open cracks, but they are the differences of formation into which molten materials have sometimes filled these crevices. Other areas are shear zones of rock. These we call faults. These cracks go deep into the earth. If there's any pressure upon the earth's surface, or there is any withdrawal of pressure, so that there's any change whatsoever due to the relationship of the great masses of matter in our solar system in relation to this, this globe gives or takes, moves ever so slightly. In fact, when you consider the area of the earth, and you consider also its diameter and circumference, these thousands of miles seem as though it would take a lot of pressure to make any impact. But it only takes the tiniest fraction of a degree of movement. And that means quite a few feet in motion. The greatest earthquake that you've had, as far as damage was concerned in the Western Hemisphere, was the one, of course, that shook down San Francisco. But in that period of time, back in the early 1900s, 1906, when this earthquake occurred, the movement was only 26 feet. Now you break up fractions of a degree by the relationship of the circumference of the earth, and 26 feet is an infinitesimal unit of pressure.
At the same time, tiny units of pressure caused by the alignment of these planetary masses as it affects the Earth's surface can move with only a few feet of movement. And it depends upon the quickness with which the given crack areas give where the pressure is applied. These alignments rotate in areas around the Earth. Actually, however, there are areas of what we call preservation. There seems to be areas of balance when, by all patterns of normalcy, there might have been some movement. We refer to these as relaxed periods, and faults don't move, and things continue. Over centuries and periods of time, sometimes we have what we call the placid periods. All strains have been released. All balances seem to be perfect. But we move into areas which seem also sometimes to be directly related to conditions and situations of the Earth. And when we move into these situations, the Earth begins to move. The fault tensions begin to shift and move at every pattern of alignment, at every change of pressure in the universe. And the Most High God may be bringing into play what you do not realize may be masses of substance and areas of force in matter that create a field of pressure of electromagnetic pulls and pushes of force that change the relationship of the pressure patterns to the moving planet. And the result is that these alignments give along fault lines. Now, I can tell you there's some things which we'll show you tonight that show that we are in relationship to great geological and physical changes in the Earth, that it's in no way is to create fear in you, because 1,000 can fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, and the Most High God says no harm will come nigh thee. Also, he's pointed out in this day of communism and socialism and Asiatic forces of evil, Jew-led throughout the world for the destruction of Christian civilization, that the powers of God will fight upon your side. You're told the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation that this great nation, the outstretched wings of the eagle, shall give its leadership to the great nations of God's kingdom, to your race, and to the great household of the Adamic race, and to this people that God calls his household and his kingdom. We have the commandments of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ. We are Christian civilization, and we are the adversary to the forces of communism and world antichrist. It is against you these forces move, and the scripture tells you that in these hours of conflict, in these times of the nuclear explosions, which are to be directed against you, God said, in that hour, the very earth is going to swallow up, opening up its maw, swallowing up the forces of the enemy and their invasions and their catastrophes like a water of a flood being swallowed up in a crowd. So it is, the scripture talks about divine intervention of the earth fighting for the peoples of God's kingdom. Someone said, well, you really believe this? I believe this because it's happened before. As we've talked about the hand of God in meteorite showers that destroyed the ancient Canaanites and their assault in the days of Joshua, and in the days when he moved in to retake this great area of land that had been once taken from the forebearers of your race by Canaanites with conspiratorial evil, and now out of Egypt and through the wilderness and under Joshua, God protected them with meteorite showers that exterminated an enemy army and called the shots with accuracy, even though the instructions for this hour had been laid out prematurely for this situation. Now we point out to you that in the course of divine measure, a great number of situations have taken place. Some think that all things are as they were in the beginning. They may have read in the book of Isaiah that they will come when the lion and the lamb will lay down together. But normally, my friends, the lion and the lamb don't pasture in the same country. But if you think there haven't been any changes, let me tell you that there have been great ones. Over in England, we have great numbers of caves along the Thames River and in various parts of Britain. Now, I happen to have noted here in one scientific discourse that has been dealing with the antiquities of things that have transpired, that there are certain impossible things that, as far as the lamb and the lion are concerned, are considered to be almost elemental. For over in Kirkdale in England, in a cave found there by stream bed, they discovered that inside were the bones of hippopotami, of reindeer, and bison, and lemmy, and grizzly bear. Now, when over in South Wales, they also found reindeer and grizzly bear, and cave lion and hyena all dwelling together. In other words, these bones were found in these caves from a catastrophe that had enveloped this portion of the earth and had caught these animals and creatures, and their bones were interred together, not disintegrated, not decayed, radiocarbon capabilities of measure, demonstrating that this transpired in a period of within 8,000 to 9,000 years. In fact, we have over this scattered period an exactness of measure in radiocarbon to show that some of the bones were scattered a few centuries apart from others, and that the oldest bones in here were laid in, hippopotami bones that were laid in here, and hippopotamuses were buried in this situation at a period of 11,000 years ago. However, while working through the caves in Wales and in South, they discovered a great area of catastrophe 14,000 years ago. And again, here we discover animals that would not be normally ranging together, buried in the same catastrophe, and demonstrating that what had transpired had been of significant impact and force, that great masses of water and moving masses had moved like a sheer force and had moved across whole continents and jamming and cramming together areas of substance and life that would not be living in the same environment or temperatures and buried them together. Now we point out that this wasn't too far back, but at the same time there are civilizations that have lived through it, civilizations that talked about the great catastrophes that happened in the north of them, and situations that affected whole masses of the water sweeping the earth. When the ancient Sumerians talked about how the oceans swept over the land and climbed over the mountains, they were talking about a catastrophe which caused water to leave the very bottoms of oceans, sweep out across the isles of the sea, move across areas of the massing continent of Europe, and climb the mountains by the sheer force with which it sloshed. And this also might explain the fact that they talked about how the earth rocked to and fro, and upon the periods of its rocking to and fro, a great sword of Merodach passed through the sky. Merodach is the Sumerian concept of the eternal God. The sword of the Lord is not only referred to inside of the scriptures, but it's referred to in the ancient Sumerian documents. Generally speaking, the sword of the Lord was a description given to a vast comet, its great sigh-like tail sweeping through space, and its astronomical patterns of balance and imbalance actually even affecting the surface of the earth itself. In the book of Isaiah, we point out to you that one of these measures of an age end is referred to in the 24th chapter of the book of Isaiah, when he said, "Behold, the Lord made a portion of the earth empty, he made it waste, he turned it upside down, and he scattered abroad all the inhabitants thereof." Now I'm going to tell you, whenever the earth turned upside down, that there was a great slashing of oceans, a great moving of substance. Someone said, "How did it happen?" It came because of astronomical impact of a great force which by a passing comet came so close to the earth that it slowed us down in the areas of our rotation and pulled the earth completely around in its position until the mountains that found themselves rotating in opposite directions for what had been the North Pole was now the South Pole as it rotated to an opposite direction because what was the west side became the east side in its rotation. And we can prove that by the astronomical drift, which we find, of comet tails, substance, and debris, always on the eastern side of mountains, rotating into the sun. Now, on the western side of the mountains of today, we discover that what now is the west side of the mountain ranges that we still have was once the east side. This is also true in the Himalayas, though under processes of transition, the Himalaya mountains went higher and higher, and the Andes mountains increased their height. Their last great uplift being 11,000 years ago, at which time the final uplift of the High Sierras took place, which also was lifted and moved by these changes of mass and earth surface by astronomical bodies. But the thing I want you to know tonight, that the balance and the contender and the force is in the hands of divine directivity. It was not by accident. It was scientifically ascertained. Geologists, astronomers, and experts in the areas of the fossilology of Earth can prove this is so. I can prove that the waters must have moved and shifted intensely at one time. I know areas in Kern County where you can go today and you can take a prospect pick and dig into masses of sea life and come away with a handful of petrified shark's teeth. You can pick up shark's teeth where sharks must have been destroyed by the thousands to leave so many of them in masses in archaeological and geological deposit here in this fossil field. We also can find that unprecedented amounts of sea life were deposited in areas behind mountain ranges where they were carried over by great catastrophe. It was not so long ago that up in Alaska, there was an experience that is in the history of some of our Alaskan settlers, in which there was some upheaval that took place in the Bay of Alaska, and the waters that hit this portion of the coast went over a mountain peak or a hill that was 1,100 feet higher than the water surface. Now, a wave that in modern time went over 1,100-foot mountain was impelled by an earthquake that took place out under the waters in a fault that was shifting in the Bay of Alaska. Now, this is historic. It didn't affect the whole area. It didn't move into all of the northern waters, but it was quite an earthquake, and it did affect this area, and lives were lost, and property was swept over the mountain and dropped into landlocked valleys where no salt water had ever existed before. So we show you that there can be tremendous forces set in motion when activities like this are related to the great upheavals that move in the earth. But in the sophistication of man, so busy about many of his affairs, he doesn't realize that the earth is vitally a part of the universe, which is in the hands of the Most High, who can balance this force. Among these catastrophes that enveloped the earth in the days when intense patterns of mongrelization were seeking to wipe out and destroy society, and the Most High ordained that he was going to stop even at that time the great scourge. Better to scatter upon the earth with destruction some of these mongrelizing forces of darkness than to have permitted the catastrophe to continue. Under its process, the earth caught and seized in this great astronomical force was turned completely upside down. In other words, it reversed itself, it was pulled completely around so that as it continued to roll on its axis, that it rolled into the east. The book of Isaiah here in the 24th chapter tells about this catastrophe, and as it was with the people, so it was with their priests and with their servants, and so it was with the maids, with the buyers and the lenders and the borrowers and all these things, including even takers of usury. So you see, Lucifer had been here, and some of his children were already in business in that ancient world. Don't think the Jews came from Abraham. There were Jews here before Adam, and God drowned a whole lot of them. Therefore, the earth had been defiled because of the inhabitants, because they transgressed the laws. Therefore, God changed the ordinance of the heavens, and he broke upon them his judgment. So there's some people say, I don't like that word. It makes difference to me. Whether you like it, I'm merely giving you some historical fact that's geologically established and historically established. This has transpired in the past. So once you think like this can happen again, there are some things that are going to happen as it relates to the end of this era. One of these areas of catastrophe was so great that when God on the sixth day of the book of Genesis created a man and a woman to start off the Torah race over 600,000 years ago, that in this instance God said, now you multiply and repopulate the earth, demonstrating it had been populated and needed repopulated. It was rather thin at the present time. This had nothing to do with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were an issue which God established later because continued Luciferian influence was still in keeping with his satanic design, an attempt to take over the earth. In these policies of this attempt to take over and destroy, mongrelize, integrate, mutate, and destroy everything which was in its natural order, we discover that God Almighty sent his own race, his own household, Adamic embodied into the earth. And God established then as his own issue, Bayram, the Hebrew, Adam. And he took out of Adam a portion from which he produced Eve, that they might be one flesh, and said, behold, there was no Adamite to till the soil, but after, on the seventh day, God placed Adam in the earth, there were Adamites and white men. From that time on, you've had 7,400 years of the rise in history of your race, also involving its first violation of divine law, not outside of the perimeter of divine foreknowledge, but without the grace of God who loved your household as his own, and protected and preserved it by his own plans. You are a part of the divine plan of the Most High God to overthrow darkness, to lift up a divine standard, and to accomplish great victory in the earth. Now I point out to you that since the Adamic race has been here, there have been several areas of great catastrophe. One of these areas of catastrophe, of course, were leveled against the attempt of monsters and giants, unassimilatable offspring of fallen angels, and these strange monsters of the sixth chapter of Genesis that in the upper Tavian Basin tried to destroy your race. It was this area where Noah was warned on how to preserve his society, and he did. How the catastrophes of the great underground sea swallowing up in the great earthquakes the land, of the intense patterns of storm, and the periods of inundation for the upper Tavian Basin. The word in the book of Hebrew is Arach, meaning all that place. All the time that flood was going on, that 120 days, there was nothing happening in South America where the Maya lived, nothing happening in Egypt where the Egyptians lived, and it did not affect the continent of Africa at all. Most of Europe was not affected by the same seismic and unusual measures of judgment that at that time fell upon the areas of the Tavian Basin. And when God had completed what he wanted as a judgment against these mongrelized, unassimilatable forces that were seeking to swallow up the race, his earthquake quack cracked great cataracts in the Great Wall of the Tarim Basin, and waters went towards the levels of Asia, where one of the areas of runoff was down the Wangho Rivers, and the other line through the Tarim Basin empties down into Mesopotamia. And this is why the history of that flood brought the waters to 69 feet in Ur the Chaldees as it came through the cataracts and didn't even touch the high hills of ancient Ur. Back when Dr. Francis Woolley did his great work and research concerning Ur the Chaldees, he found that floodwaters that came from descending and cascading waters from Upper Asia that swept by reached 69 feet, and its levels and marks are still to be found up on the areas of the ruins of ancient Ur. Now we point out to you that another catastrophe took place. This catastrophe was in the areas of the Exodus. It was at the time that God sent Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let your race free. The oppressive roots of false and pagan priests under satanic and evil Yehudim, which are the same people you call Jews, not Israelites, had no relationship to them, but were involved in their dark priesthood persecuting the peoples of your race who were dwelling in the land of Goshen. A Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, according to the scripture, was in power. He led his ear to these priests of Set and Thoth, and the persecution that ended with the leadership of Moses and the pattern of his divine guided history, in which when the hour of Exodus came, great catastrophes fell upon Egypt. You remember that Moses was God's spokesman that went to Pharaoh and told him to let these people go. God says, let my people go. He wasn't talking about the Jews, he's talking about you. More than this, at that time, your forebears then requested that they be released. Their agreement and contract had been violated by Egypt. They had never been prisoners, and now they had been made slaves. When this Pharaoh refused to let your people go, your technology, your superior craft, your knowledge, your wisdom, were those which they wished to harness and use. That under the pattern of Moses' declaration, when Pharaoh's heart became hardened, catastrophe struck. Now, when we talk about this, there had been one catastrophe, which we do not find too involved as far as the location of our race, but in the days of Peleg, according to the scripture, we have a period when it says the earth was divided. Here earthquakes and great seismic disturbance caused by the imbalance of this comet, which later entered our planetary system, caused such changes that land bridges, Bering Strait, land bridges that were up in the North Sea were broken. These traditional land bridges that are on the charts of ancient Sumerians not only cracked and were eliminated, but they separated areas into now new existing continents without even an isthmus connection. The Bering Strait, which is separating you from Siberia, had its final division at that time. But within the memory of tradition, we discover the Indians talked about how Eskimos and others, they walked across the land masses between what we now know as Siberia and Alaska to come down into the Western Hemisphere. But they no longer were able to do this, of course, after the dividing of the earth by these earthquakes and seismic disturbances, which the scripture tells you happened in the days of Peleg. Now we point unto you that the forces of darkness, all the powers of evil, have witnessed the rise in the last few centuries of the height of attainment of this race of God's children, these people that start with Adam and come down through Seth and through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and whose offspring have produced the Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Nordic, Basque, Lombard, Germanic peoples. And out of this culture of civilization, to which people the Messiah came, and to which people with messianic identity they have accepted as the embodiment of their God. Your historical racial faith is Christianity, the worship of one God, and the recognition of his embodiment as the man Christ Jesus. If you don't like this faith, then leave our race because you're an abomination to it. The racial solidarity of the household of God is also based upon a knowledge of its origin and a trusting faith in this deity that controls the universe and works these things for effectual good. Every once in a while, someone says, what about the terrible catastrophe of wiping out so many thousands of these people? Well, the ones that move into the areas of catastrophe are the unassimilatable offspring of fallen angels who belong back in the dimension from whence their beings were originated and don't belong in earth to carry out the areas of catastrophe. There are beings here that don't belong here and belong back where they came from, and this is one of the things inevitably is going to take place. Don't be shedding crocodile tears for destroyers of earth whose tyrannical processes keep the earth in pain. If one wants to look back on a courageous people whose migrations and history build up the background of your race and their design and their imperative feelings and moods, which would involve the exploration, the colonization of this great continent, and then the developing from these colonies in the areas in which, again, this evil third person steps in, this satanic conspiracy of the Rothschild, was designed to enact tremendous taxation and to destroy the economic life of new colonies. It ends with this Revolutionary War, the creation of Manassas' new freedom, the outstretched wings of the American Eagle. And out of it, the birth of a nation whose constitution and whose Bill of Rights was to guarantee to these many peoples out of the great race of which we're a part, the greatest constructive pattern of liberty, freedom, and initiative the world ever saw. I do not have to take time tonight in this discourse to prove to you that the unassimilatable forces of Antichrist and of evil, together with the political philosophies of communism, socialism, and all the areas of disintegration, are waging a sociological warfare against your race, a political and economic one. They have sought to enmesh, and you have helped to create by being taken in, the great conspiracy of the United Nations. They are seeking to envelop you in socialism, and while you fight communism, you succumb to its doctrines. They are seeking by decrees to set aside your Bill of Rights. They are seeking by autocratic decisions of chief executives to write into the Federal Register's laws to supersede your congressional powers of balance with their legislative field and to eliminate from you your areas of defending yourself. They have decided to deliver you as vassals under their power into the hands of your enemy to end the kingdom of God, to ring down the night, but they are working without a proper balance that the Most High God has this whole day in reckoning in the areas of prophecy as described it. He intends to charge his people to resistance, to immunize them with power, and to drive the powers of darkness from this land. In the midst of such upheaval, the very earth will vibrate, shake and move and shift again. The symbols of world's impact are upon us, and the signs of great change, even now in the surface of the earth, are becoming again visible. This does not mean you don't do anything about it. You move with great patriotic Christian determination to eliminate from your land the forces of darkness. You engage in political, social, and economic patterns of conflict with the enemy. You lift up a divine standard, and without doubt you move ahead. Don't let anyone say that the children of the kingdom and those that know their identity and lift up a Christian standard are pacifists. We are not pacifists. We are willing to lock with Satan and drive him from our nation. And to know that irrespective, the Most High God can protect you. Tectonic earthquakes sometimes follow what we call a turbulence that moves in the whole circle of the earth. In this instance, tectonic earthquakes open up and close again. They just don't shift or roll, but great crevices and chasms are opened up in the earth and they close. This, strangely enough, has happened several times in history, and whole armies of the enemies of your race have in the past been swallowed up by such earthquakes. In fact, it wasn't too long ago in the past century that an earthquake happened like that in Owens Valley that went right down through the main street of Lone Pine, California. It just opened it wide up until there was a great chasm, and then it closed up with a bang. Horses running wild across the street in fear were swallowed up, and the earth closed together, leaving just their tails moving in some instances above the pavement. The fact is that the town never changed its course. This earthquake happened once, never happened again, but it frightened people, and there's a graveyard in the areas of North Lone Pine to tell about the casualties that occurred, and on the gravestones are told the story. Tectonic earthquake opened up shut. When a few years ago the Tehachapi earthquake was caused by the movement of the Bear Mountain Fault, triggered by the off faults from the San Andreas Fault, was building up along the pattern of the cleavage line, finally let go, there opened up in that Bear Mountain a great chasm which is there to this day. In fact, if you go up there, you'll discover that it's over a mile and a half to 2 miles deep, and that there have been some geologists courageous enough to be lowered in boats and chairs down this great crevice to look at the walls of this tremendous display of strata and rock. However, one wants to be sure that they're doing that on the right time and it's not about to close up again. Normal faults do not open and close like this, though the great grinding masses of material, as you can see in Cajon Pass, have been ground and pulverized into these strange and shapely masses of rock by the grinding of these two great fault sides of the earth over past periods of history. We in California live near one of the greatest, most active faults upon the face of the earth that extends from here all the way to Japan under the Pacific Ocean, sprinting off into the Aleutian Islands and going out to sea just above the San Francisco Golden Gate under Stimson Beach. However, my friends, this fault, while it becomes active and has tremendous potential power, the energy of which is hardly within the estimated capacity of man to understand related to land forces and to normal and natural explosions. More energy in one small tremor is dissipated than the most powerful set of nuclear bombs that have ever been broken upon the face of the earth. However, we cite to you that these fault ranges in Palestine that go through the Mount of Olives and stretch up into its prong division, one up into the areas north and east of Turkestan and clear up into Asia. The other split goes out into the Mediterranean Sea and up by the Aegean Sea also and over by the Isle of Crete. This happens to be one of the most active faults on the face of the earth. It triggers to the very heart of the continental system. And when the alignment pattern starts its motion, it affects all Asia. It will shear Palestine, swallowing up whole areas of it. In the areas where the Red Sea now exists, are areas of Palestine that will be totally inundated. Some of its mountains will slide and level off a great plain, and whole areas of that land is about to be destroyed. I can't think of a better place for God to urge these Jews to go live. Say, what do you mean he urges them to do it? Well, there's an impelling force upon the part of these people to try to move down and capture a land that belonged to you. It's a good thing. Someone says, why did God ever let us to get driven out of the land of our inheritance? Well, it's a good thing. You couldn't all live down there anyhow. It's not big enough to take care of any one nation of you. On the other hand, the people that try to get this crossroads of the world with its tremendous wealth in the Dead Sea and all that relate to it are the people that more deserve what's about to happen there than anybody on the face of the earth. We point out to you that there's also strange changes in the earth. The temperatures of the earth are changing somewhat, and we go through cycles of strange intensities of heat. Under these strange patterns, great masses of glacial ice melts. But the strangest thing, all unrelated to the amount of melting glacial ice, which can build up as fast as it melts in chains of years, is the fact that the ocean is getting warmer and warmer, farther and farther to the north. Some people were worried about it, thinking that the heated intensity will cause the ice to melt and raise the water at a destructive level all over the earth. This is not only fantastic because most all the glacial fields of the ice of the north has already displaced its weight in the water, and its melting to water will reduce the area that it now fills and in no way raise the surface of the earth's waters. I want you to know tonight, don't let any evangelistic fear be set upon you by some zealous but uninformed individual who thinks that the melting of the ice caps is going to raise the water surface of the earth, because the areas of the ice already are displacing more material than would be filled by the same amount of water after it melted. We point out to you, however, that this is not the area of change. The area of great change is what's happening actually in the earth, in its subterranean waters, in its ocean temperatures, in its under-ocean boiling volcanoes, in the great new signs of pressure, in the rumblings that come from Etna and Vesuvius, and the rumblings that come in the Pacific Islands. Every volcanic action that has ever taken place in the Pacific Islands, it seems to be reactivated, and today they are listening to the deep rumblings in the island. You are in a climactic hour where you can get more evidence and value out of a thus saith the Lord than you can, my friends, out of the Chamber of Commerce that don't want you to know the truth. The measures of change and the closeness of an hour of judgment is quite dear. And can you imagine any conditions that would be more essential for such change and chastisement? Here in this greatest nation of God's kingdom, in this great land of the free, we have reached a period where we have a president surrounded by an anti-Christian cabinet that is desiring to integrate your race, mongrelize it, lose its identity, lose the status of a great white Christian country, surrender your sovereignty, move you into a one-world government, disarm you in the hands of your enemies, and then make you unable to resist. Now you can say, can that happen? That's happened all in your lifetime. It's happened all in the last few years. Not only does the scripture tell you that there will be signs of the sun in the moon and in the stars, the pattern of the sunspots, which have been related to balances of electronic disturbance and thus involve also whole areas of storm and have been related in electronic and astrometeorology to the patterns of storm. There are signs of the sun in the moon and in the stars. Jesus said that the climax of this age. Now remember this, when Jesus talks about the end of an age, he's not talking about the end of the world, but he may be talking about the end of a world order. He's not talking about the end of Christian civilization or the children of his kingdom. He's talking about the day when he says, we've had enough. And the forces that start to move with you are going to not only deliver victory, but are going to devastate whole areas of your enemy's power to destroy or resist. Jesus said that this age would be marked by these signs. We've had them in the stars. We've had the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens. We've had the significant patterns of unusual upheaval, of vast motion in the heavens and in space. Objects blocking out the various stars as they pass. Dark objects not reflecting light. Picked up by instruments today in astronomical observatories and upon instruments that are used for detection of forces and motion and sound from space. far out in the areas of space are moving patterns of objects moving towards Earth, and these objects may be and well may carry the beginning of what will be the greatest area of reinforcements the world's ever seen. But there's something going on in space. There's patterns of strange imbalance that is affecting normal evaluations here in our solar system, but the idea is not to let you know anything about it. Unprecedented sightings of objects that are moving around the Earth with disciplined and proper order, guided by intelligent beings and by the host of Michael, are being denied today by competent and well-trained investigators because the government has said you must repudiate the existence of these things because we don't control them. But the thing today is not any longer able to be suppressed. Around the Earth and moving around it are already a part of the fleets of Michael and reinforcements for the kingdom. Negation forces may also be coming out of their layers of darkness, as in the book of Revelation you're told that the forces of Apollyon, the powers of evil, will seek to lock in resistance the supporting strength that will come to your behalf. Do not think that this is a time to roll back the areas of development. Victory is assured, but doing something about it is your destiny. Now, within this pattern of measure, I tell you this. The scripture tells me that astronomical bodies, some of them dark, will hove into sight and have a tremendous impact. In some areas of the earth where they will hit, the waters will be turned bitter like wormwood, which means almond flavor. This is also accompanied with the destructive patterns of the cyanide of potassium heads recorded on some meteorite masses, and which, if fell in certain areas, would help to wipe out your enemy, and there'd be no question about it. The very waters turning bitter, it says, would cause men to die, which is the immediate result of any cyanide impact into areas of Earth with its dust and with its waters. Revelation tells you that such a measure of catastrophe can happen in the climactic period in which you live. We also point out to you that within the same measure we are told of the things that are about to transpire in this physical universe, of an earthquake of unusual proportions that will affect the coast of the earth, of unusual and unprecedented winds, of high storms, of creation, the great creative impact of the influences of these astronomical measures and the storms that are coming. Jesus said, and Jesus should know because he's going to push the button. He's the one in charge. He's had the control of it. He's measured the balance. And this is what he said. Men's hearts are going to fail them for fear. Well, there's no doubt about that. You never saw or heard of an area where there were more heart attacks than there is now. People looking out on the earth, some of them have weak hearts, and some of them are dying for fear, and some of them are dying for sheer worry, looking at the things that are coming upon the earth. Someone said, don't you think we ought to worry? They're about to confiscate our possessions, or about to socialize us. My friends, there isn't anything you got you can't make again. But your major program of divine operation is to fight the enemy, defeat the enemy, and to move against him, no holds barred, in seeking to destroy the evil. Jesus said these signs would be there, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking upon the face of the earth. Why? He said there would be distress among nations, hypertensions, and increasing forces of violence, and it says that the sea and the waves would be roaring, unprecedented storms. I think we can say to Michael, bring on the wind angels from the four corners of the earth, and let them blow and let them move. For he said, 1,000 can fall at thy side, and no harm shall come nigh thee. There are left us to be whole areas of measure which we can refer to. Strange rumblings in mountains that have been still. Slight movements and measured movements taking place even on Manhattan Island. And that's the site, you know, of that old United Nations building. That's one of these days going to come down with quite a shattering of glass. Remember, my friends, areas of the earth that they thought were permanently dead and fixed are beginning to show signs and movements again. Now I point out to you that these are all signs in the end of the age. Signs that in this hour of the Antichrist, he's attempting to take over. Patterns of integration are continued work. Do not believe and do not listen to all the voices that say, oh, they've got contact. You know, every once in a while, some silly person tries to tell me that the forces that are riding around in the craft around the earth want everybody to move into one common brotherhood, love everybody, and spare the earth from destruction. I happen to have in my hands a copy of a Negro newspaper called the Los Angeles Community News. Now, this is strange. Every single piece in this newspaper is nigger. Every picture, every operation, every story, everything is integration, everything is mongolization, and everything else. But of all things, this building is in the paper. The New Age Cathedral moves to a new location and holds its services here in the morning. Dr. Frank L. Stranges, the president of International Evangelistic Crusade, is now using this in the morning for his great World Brotherhood New Age Cathedral of Love God, Negroes, Jews, Negroes, whites, and all races. In the meantime, he's supposed to be getting the instruction from the voices from above that everybody's to move in the solidarity and community closeness in a one world brotherhood, and that this is the message for the new age.
Nobody's talking, my friends. That comes out of the realm of the Most High with any fantastic story like committing this kind of suicide.
This is the design of the one world. You say, what's this for? Do they want to save some innocent person from getting shot? Or are they just trying to protect you from the crooks that'll have the weapons anyhow? No, they want to disarm you, the patriotic American, because what they intend to do, they're afraid you won't put up with. And if George Washington's admonition when he retired and when he left office was right, he told you to stay armed so that you wouldn't have to put up with this kind of thing, because the tyrants and traitors tried to take your freedom. He ordered you to sweep them out of the way.
You say you mean the time has come when the citizens will resist the law?
This isn't law. This is tyranny by decree. I think it's time that across America, that every patriot, that every American would stand for this right, that we will not live under a tyranny that's so afraid of we the people that have never threatened government, that's right or just, that they want to disarm us because of their plan. You'd never see a crime wave like would take place in America if the crook knew that he didn't have to worry about any house he entered. They were all disarmed. All they would be creating would be a new type of bootlegger, the gunlegger, you know. The fastest growing industry in America would be gun running, and the buyer would be America trying to get back a way to protect itself. In these United States, we have this accompanying conspiracy called civil rights legislation, which in its various points would confiscate all remaining areas of freedom. Or Title I of the civil rights legislation give absolute federal control of every local, state, and national election. Federal control of all elections advocates an abolishment of all state rights at the end of liberty in the controlled government. Title II regulates all private business establishments by the United States in carrying out its programs of integration with economic power. No more freedom, all business under the hands of a Babylonian evil dictatorship. Number three, it forms a program for desegregation of all schools and prepares for what's referred to as the transport system to create a change in unbalance and move thousands of white students into Negro schools and vice versa by federal decree. Title IV establishes an agency at taxpayers' expense to interfere with all the local affairs of every community and county and to determine the settlement of all racial difficulties. It extends the life of this evil Civil Rights Commission with additional powers and invests the power in the president to withdraw all aid, government assistance, and finance from any project or anything that relates to financial use of government money, to withdraw aid from all the people, blind, dependent children, or anything else if the president so desires to punish or to develop the integration program. More than this, it gives absolute control over every bank, over every financial institution, lending agency, or financing agency in the United States in order to implement racial acceptance of integration. Title VII establishes a commission on equal employment, which virtually gives unlimited power to the president to secure the hiring, the locating of minority employment anywhere in the United States. Let's save America for Christ and for the destiny of God's kingdom. This is your job, and let's wake up. Signs of the NJ. The catastrophes, the judgments, the earthquakes, the tidal waves, the sweeping storms will move against the earth, and no harm will come nigh you. But look out for the mollifier and the appeaser and those that make their bed with Babylon, because they can pay the price of the chastisement that will fall.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries,
Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.